Tina, Ophelia, Sketch Vibes. My woman's been telling me lies about other men, about where she's been hanging. Suspicious sauce in my mind, been brewing up over time. And he's just afraid of winning me, he's a stranger. But I can hold no evidence, but I can't think emotionless. And something in your choice of dress tonight can lead to just one guess. A white lies that you try, I can't blind my eyes. You got your red dress on and you wanna play like I can't know things that I never say. A white lies that you try, I can't blind my eyes. You got your red dress on and you wanna play like I can't know things that I never say. Well, it's been keeping me up every night, and most of the time I toss and turn in bed and I try not to explode when you arrive, sneaking through the door like it ain't five, like this house ain't mine. Oh yes, I've been picking up really sketch vibes, and I keep looking over at your side, wondering where you've been, thinking that he ain't afraid, knowing the thoughts I've said. And so I say it again, white lies that you try, I can't blind my eyes. You got your red dress on and you wanna play like I can't know things that I never say. White lies that you try, I can't blind my eyes. You got your red dress on and you wanna play like I can't know things that I never say. Yeah.
Oh, mate. Oh, I felt for you. You broke a string in the first beat of the song. What a drag. Hold on a second. Put your mic on me.
The moment that I first hit the strings.
First time you hit the strings. My goodness me. And I felt for you because that has totally happened to me before.
Wow. Well, that's never happened to me on the air first second of a song. But it's all good.
It has happened to me.
Hopefully no one could tell.
Years and years ago, I was on this radio station in England, and there was some, I forget his name now, but he was like this tastemaker DJ. And I was very excited to go and play on his show.
Oh, no.
It's one of those things. And I got there, and the first whack of the guitar, I broke a string. I completely felt for you. I mean, I'm nobody, so you'd have to worry about that.
We ventured right through it, though. I think it was fine.
Max Frost from Austin.
Yeah.
Are you going to give your guitar to Austin from Austin? Because he's here.
Probably. Yeah, he's the restringer.
He left a restring.
Do you have an acoustic guitar in here?
Oh, do you know what? I don't know if I do. I didn't bring one with me.
Yeah, you grab strings, the Pelican case.
No, you're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Figure it out. I can survive with
that. That's the thing about acoustic guitars, though. You know, it's the real deal. And that's a beautiful old guitar you've got there.
Yes, this is an old one. 44. So that's the risk you run when you go with vintage gear of such a historic quality.
You know what? It's all right, man. It's all right. You did very well to keep it going on a five-string.
I stole this guitar from a museum, so I guess that's the karma that I'm getting now.
Yeah, that's what'll happen. Yeah. That's the truth of life.
That's the truth of life.
Instant. Well, when did you steal that thing?
A couple years ago from a World War II museum. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's just like they made this thing in World War II, these Gibsons, these old Gibsons. So
yeah.
I always say that joke. Actually, I never say that joke, but...
Now you shouldn't tell people that. So but I'm thinking about you sitting in your room some years ago before you signed to Atlantic and all of that mm-hmm. big stuff, just writing songs and play. I mean, where were you play? Were you playing out at that time as well?
A little bit. I mean, I'd kind of come out of a phase of being in a bunch of bands, and I just kind of like whisked myself off to LA for a summer between classes when I was like 19, and just kind of started picking away. I'd been like recording on Logic for a while, and I'd been writing songs a lot, and it just kind of all, you know, I sort of like redeveloped a style when I was in LA, or kind of more honed in on what I was doing, which now I think I'm kind of going right from again. But that was kind of where like I had the time to kind of sit there and like work it all out, and now it's like, you know, more the thing that I'm doing mainly. But I think I'm about to change it all up again. It's like, it was kind of like it took 3 years to develop one style, and now I think I'm 3 years after that, I'm about to kind of hit into a new thing.
A new style, like a genre of music, or a style of recording, or a way of organizing your life?
I think it's a little bit due to the process changing, and I think it's due to myself changing, and also just I'm a lot less afraid now to do stuff that I thought, I don't know, I guess I'm just sort of in a place now where I've become a little creatively bored with myself, so I'm kind of pushing myself where I'm uncomfortable in a place where it's like, I think that's where I'm going to either sink or swim. You know, I'd rather, I guess the thing I realized, you know, you get into the industry and you start being around a lot of people who make a lot of music and you play it for the toughest critics and you realize that the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. And if you're making stuff that people are indifferent to, that's almost the worst thing. So I'd rather make stuff that people have to hate or love, and that's just kind of where I creatively feel myself being dragged. Not for the sake of it being shocking or anything like that, but I'm just trying to put stuff that's, to me, in a way that, rather than trying to write songs that anyone could sing, just the songs that only I could sing and only a way that I could do them, rather than trying to be too universal, you know.
You know, the other side of that is we're at the station, the radio station, and we get sent stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And you're right, indifference is the worst. It's so, if we argue and say, that's awful, and somebody says, that's great, and that's, people feel strongly about it one way or another.
That's the key, yeah.
That is the key, because when you play a track and everybody goes, eh,
I guess we can play this. That's the world. You know, that's just the world I don't want to be in.
Well, then people start saying, why are we going to play this? Because we know the manager. Well, that's not a reason to play this thing.
But that's the stuff that excites me, though, is the stuff that you hear. And you know that music is really something special when the moment you first hear it, you go, do I hate this or do I love this? That's the way I felt when I first heard James Blake. Someone sent me a link in like 2009 of that Wilhelm Scream thing, and I watched it and I was like, I remember I got goosebumps, but I was like unsure. I was like, am I going to like this by the end of this video? Is he going to pull this off? I didn't know. It was so different. It was like it was like seeing a movie where you're just shocked from the beginning and it kind of freaks you out and you're like, is this a terrible movie or the greatest movie I've ever seen?
No, some of the great, my favorite bands of all time started out that way. I must say, the Smiths.
Oh yeah.
Didn't like the Smiths at all. Just didn't get it.
But that stuff is so crazy.
And now, of course, you know.
And you're down on your own.
He's such a weirdo.
And you cry and you want to die.
He's kind of the most depressed guy there is. Yes. And what he needs is a burger. He just needs
He just needs to just drink a beer.
Yeah.
Sit down, find a nice girl somewhere.
And eat a steak. Big steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's a nice guy, you know.
Yeah. Now, Austin from Austin is your guy. He's here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he's got a big box and he's found some strings.
I travel with a Viking comrade.
That's a good, very nice EJ-16s, Dudarido. That'll be the one. Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think we can do without it for now. You know, I think if we need to do another one, I can do it.
So what I'm trying to get is like this change, the change from doing your own stuff with Logic on a computer.
Yeah.
By yourself. And then all of a sudden you sign to Atlantic. So presumably you're getting introduced to producers and engineers who may or may not take your music in one direction or the other.
Right.
And that's a whole nother thing, going in big studios.
Totally.
Right? How's that change for you?
For me, I think I'm really blessed to have spent so much time developing what I was doing as a producer to where I'm a little bit like, I think most artists are in a position where they're kind of in the hands of a producer as far as like, yeah, so I kind of want my sound to sound like magic balloons. I can be like, no, I don't want, like, here are the drums I want, I can make it. You know what I mean? Which again, like, you know, I mean, I meet producers that are incredible that can do things I can't do, but I think the key and the people who I work the best with, I'm able to do my thing and they're able to enhance it and take it to somewhere that I hadn't considered, but that they're adding to it rather than changing the direction. So for me, which in all honesty, like the process hasn't changed that much. I still boil, most things really end up through the filter of my computer at the end of the day, no matter what. And most things start there too.
Oh, really?
So it ends up just being more of a process. Like I have, you know, people who I can sort of like send through an idea, like some kind of a magic compressor or something, that I just sort of send an idea through them or work on them with it so that I can kind of like grind out what it is. Cause I go a bit nuts, you know, like if I spend 6 months only with myself working, I'm just like, yeah, I've written 100 of the worst songs of all time.
Right, right. You need a fresh pair of ears.
I just need someone there to just be like, no, that's a good idea. Don't overthink that. Just keep doing that.
Yeah.
I need more of like a boat captain more than I need someone to like actually row the boat.
Right, right, right. That's interesting. And so, but engineering wise, like, surely it's great to like be able to just play and sing and mess about with sounds and not have to fart around with a computer all day, because that can really take away from your creative process.
I mean, I think about how the fact that for most of the time we've ever heard music recorded music, they weren't looking at a screen the whole time. And especially it's good, I think, to record with tape players and stuff like that, because you're like, back more into kind of Stevie Wonder's world. He's not looking at anything. He's just sort of hearing it. And I think that's the closer you get to that, the better. Because I think your eyes can trick you. But at the same time, you know, engineering is an art that I still am a fan of. But at the end of the day, my thing is I'm just trying to like write the best songs I can write and not let the rest of that distract me from like that main process. Because once you have that done, then you can do whatever you want. You can engineer a record and do that whole thing. But if you don't got the songs, then...
Yeah.
You ain't got squat.
No, and some of the best records we all love are actually when you listen to them, sort of sonic from a sonic point of view, they sound pretty awful. They can sound terrible, you know.
Totally.
But you just love the songs. Yeah, we're playing Adderall at the moment, and we've been playing your stuff for a while now.
Oh, thanks,
now.
Man.
In fact, I think Brendan out of Grizzfolk brought me your first.
Oh, really?
Record. Yeah.
Hey, Brendan. Yeah. I toured with those guys. Those are some of the coolest dudes I've ever toured with.
Yeah. They're really the real deal. Yeah,
they're super nice guys. In fact, it was like the third show we did. It was his birthday. We were in San Francisco, and we didn't really know them very well. It's in the third show, and they came up to me and they were like, "Hey, it's your tour manager's birthday, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they were like, "Just get him to the side of the stage, right before the encore." And I was like, "Really?" And then they pulled him up, and they had a birthday cupcake and had the whole crowd of like 500 people sing to him, and it was, you know, which he's never been on a stage before. He was freaking out, and it was the most, like, you know, extension of the olive branch I've ever had from a band I was supporting in a long time. It was pretty incredible.
Well, that is awesome.
They were nice
oftentimes
guys.
You know, the headliner can ignore the supporting act.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You're always worried about minding your P's and Q's and just getting out of there as quickly as possible.
Totally, yeah.
Back to the hotel by 8:30.
We were on a long run together, so they were cool guys. But no, great group of dudes. I actually hope I see them when I get back to LA here.
No, they're lovely. Brendan's an old friend of the stage. Lovely, just a good friend of ours, yeah.
Amazing.
You want to play us another song on the five string?
Absolutely, got the five string here.
Yeah. All right, Max Frost in the station. It's KX93.5. Lovely to have you here, mate. And he's going to play us another song. We'll have another little chinwag about gigs and what's happening next.
A chinwag.
For him.
I'm writing that down in my Urban English Dictionary.
You can have that. In fact, I think a song called Chinwag by
Brendan.
I got
the chinwag.
Let's have a chinwag.
Perhaps over a cup of tea.
Let's have a chinwag over a tea bag. That's probably quite rude, isn't it? I'm not allowed to say that on the radio. goodness me. All right, mate, whenever you're ready.
Ready.
I got a new disease. I saw it on TV. It's taking hold of me, and I believe that I might be insane. My thoughts are incomplete. Up late, I don't get sleep. They say it's clear to see the ADD is all that's left to blame. I can't get it together. I should know better. I got a mind like weather that always seems to change. It's getting harder. So I need a doctor. He's gonna make me smarter. At least that's what they say. I've been bouncing off the walls and shaking. The Adderall won't loosen the pressure. There's only so much I can take. Wake up and need someone to stop me. Cause Adderall won't loosen the pressure. There's only so much I can take. There's only so much I can take. I break into the scene, a buzz from the new vaccine. That's curing all my dreams. It's fine with me, as long as I get more. My door's left off the latch, and all my mirrors cracked. Now there's no turning back, so I just laugh. I pass out on the floor, I can't get it together. I should know better. I got a mind like weather, always seems to change. It's getting harder, so I need a doctor. He's gonna make me smarter. At least that's what they say. I've been bouncing off the walls and shaking. The Adderall won't loosen the pressure. There's only so much I can take. Wake up and need someone to stop me. Cause Adderall won't loosen the pressure. There's only so much I can take. So much I can say.
There you go, Max Frost, live on the radio here in Laguna Beach, California. We've also been on Facebook Live. So Steph's laughing because is that Chris Martin? Who can that be? It can't be actually Chris Martin. No. Anyway, he says, nice, Max.
Oh, nice. Chris Martin, yeah. Big fan of him.
Yeah, neither are we.
No. He's great. Actually, you know, it's interesting. I saw him at a gala in Malibu a couple months ago and just doing a thing by himself. And he's like...
Well, amazing, right?
He's, I mean, he could sing... He's actually a person who's so good at singing and playing that he could convince you that the worst song ever is the greatest song.
Well, he's
of
been
all time.
Doing that his entire career.
No, come on.
Ever since Yellow.
We've
got this thing that Yellow was the thing, and then after that, it's just been.
You don't think Speed of Sound's a good song? You don't think that
Green Eyes was a good song?
You don't think Viva La Vida is a good song?
It's not for me.
I used to.
It's so good.
Come
it's on. Not my cup of tea.
Oh, come on.
I don't even know what it is. I kind of lost interest pretty early on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they've tried to do a thing. But anyways, enough about them.
Yeah.
They've gotten plenty of attention on the radio.
True enough. What are you doing at the moment? You played last night at the Wayfarer here.
We're about to do our fourth night of the run tonight in LA at the Mint.
Yeah.
And I think the doors are about 7 o'clock. And this is my first headlining tour of the West Coast. And so far I've been very, very overwhelmed with how well it's going. And you always, first time you ever like kind of go out on the limb of booking your own headlining tour, it's a little scary. You got this feeling of like, is there going to be 5 people there a night?
Oh, I know. Yeah. But it's been going well, huh?
Yeah, it's been, you know, 250 most nights, and I've been pumped on it, man. I'm like, I feel very blessed right now, and I feel very excited to be, you know, because there's that, it's almost probably the same as when an entrepreneur is trying to start a business, which I think in music, I'm not really an entrepreneur because I'm just making music, but
yeah,
there's just that period of time where you're like, I just got to get this to where there's just a little bit of motion, you know what I mean? And
cool.
Now I feel like there's just that little bit where I'm just, you know, I'm not flying down the highway, but the wheels are turning and it's scooting forward. And just to get that little bit of air under your wings takes sometimes, I mean, some people get lucky and it doesn't take much, but for me, it's taken a lot of hard work. And
I'm delighted
really
that we've caught you at this moment because it's an important moment for an artist like yourself. You know, there is a division. I get bands in here all week long, and there's a real obvious split between the bands that are playing because they're musicians and that's what they do, mm-hmm. and then there's the ones that started a business. Like they've already got, they've not, first singles out and they've got a line of clothing planned, you know, the whole thing. And I'm like, that's not the right.
Which I do want to segue into. Talk to you about this clothing line. I've got some belts coming
underwear.
Up called Frosty the Kids. I'm I've got shoes for sale at the show.
Yeah, but that's different. That's you're selling your actual shoes so you can make it to the next gig. I'm talking about people that make shoes.
Right. I named my publishing company Frosty the Kids Compost just for gags, and I don't know why. Frosty the Kid was just a funny name to me. And then all the time, so because it's on my debit card, then like the LLC card, when I'm in restaurants, especially in vegan restaurants, they'll come to me and be like, "So you own a compost company, dude? Like that's pretty rad.
It's cool, yeah.
Is there a way I could like have some for my garden?
Hook up. Yeah, we can hook up. My line of kombucha drinks and all that. It's the next thing that I'm doing.
Exactly.
but no, really, it's to be at that stage where it's just beginning to happen. You know, especially when you've got some experience and you know how to make records on your own, it's not like you're going to get other people's ideas stomping all over you.
Totally.
That's great.
But, you know, I'm blessed to have met people that have actually challenged and affected the way that I think about making music in a way that I think has benefited it more than, you know, stunted its growth. So I think for me, it's been a crazy couple of years of being, you know, in the middle of this, but there's honestly not really one thing I regret, because even the toughest moments of it have just, I feel like it's just strengthened more my solidity and just like what I'm doing and who I am. Because when you first get in, it's sort of like, cool, so who are you and what's going on and we like this song, but who are you and what are you going to wear a suit? Are you going to, you know,
right,
all these
right.
questions that everyone, they need to fill the blank in on this whole, there's this like invisible survey of who are you as an artist that if you, you know, it takes time to fill that in, and if you don't fill it in, you can't let other people fill it in.
No,
it's been,
can I tell you, it is as horrible as you think, because I, you know, getting into radio, we find ourselves, again, if that song comes in and it's, and somebody says, no, we've got to play this. And I'm, you know, we start asking really horrible questions like, what's his Facebook friend's action like? How many friends has he got? And, I hate myself for that. we have a radio station to keep going, and that sort of thing,
yeah.
I guess, is important. But,
yeah.
Mate, we love the music very much here,
thanks
and
so
we're
much.
So happy that you came in to
thanks
talk
for having,
to us.
Seriously.
Yeah. Tonight at the Mint.
Yes, sir.
That's a nice gig. Sounds good in there.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. You're going to enjoy it. Max Frost is here. What's the next thing, by the way? Should people keep an eye on your website or the something? What are you doing? Just touring, playing?
Yeah, I'm just touring my butt off out there, making songs, releasing them. I just released that song Adderall.
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, a whole new record that I'm in kind of about halfway through right now. That's definitely a big I wouldn't even call it a turn left. It's just a turn somewhere else for me. I definitely am, you know, I don't really know. I mean, I never knew what to call what I was doing over the past 3 years, but I definitely don't know what to call this. But I like it, and I feel more identified with this music that I'm creating now more than I've ever with anything else. So, you know, hate it or love it, folks.
Hey, good for you, and good for Atlantic Records for sticking by an artist who's kind of figuring out what to do next.
Totally.
That's really awesome. Nice one. All right, Max Frostbin here.
All right, thanks.
Live on the radio. See you soon.